We are in Genesis 21, so if you turn there, I'm going to read just the first 21 verses. There's actually 34 verses, but we are not going to cover the last part of that on purpose. Just our goal wasn't to ever cover everything, but we seldom find something that we can kind of give up. But there's a whole section in there about Abraham's covenant with Abimelech that we're not going to cover. You can read it. I actually have it at the end of your notes in very small print. Let me read 21 verses of this, okay? And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me. She also said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? For I have borne him a son in his old age. So the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, scoffing. Therefore she said to Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be the heir with my son, namely Isaac. And the matter was very displeasing in Abraham's sight because of his son. But God said to Abraham, do not let it be displeasing in your sight because of the lad or because of your bondwoman. Whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her voice, for in Isaac your seed shall be called. Yet I will also make a nation of the son of the bondwoman because he is your seed. So Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water, and putting it on her shoulder, he gave it and the boy to Hagar and sent her away. Then she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water in the skin was used up, and she placed the boy under one of the shrubs. Then she went and sat down across from him at a distance of about a bow shot, for she said to herself, let me not see the death of the boy. So she sat opposite him and lifted her voice up and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad. Then the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said to her, what ails you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him with your hand, for I will make him a great nation. Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the skin with water and gave the lad to drink. So God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took a wife for him from the land of Egypt. All right. Okay, let's just go down. The first point here is God's word is reliable. Number one, God's word is reliable. It's kind of a repeating point, but even more so here. All of the things that God had promised are now, at least in the very smallest form, coming to pass. We've looked at this, but here's a summary, and I put the passages underneath in the block below, but I've summarized the promises relating to Abraham's descendants. The Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. Notice, as he had said, as he had spoken. That's my emphasis here. All of the things that God had said from the very beginning, God will make of Abraham a great nation. What does that take? Descendants. God will give a particular land to Abraham's descendants. What does that take? Descendants. You can't give land to someone that doesn't exist. God will make the descendants of Abraham like the dust of the earth. What does that take? That takes descendants, right? Abraham had Ishmael, and he was told that, no, that's not who I'm talking about, as far as the promise is concerned. God will provide an heir from Abraham's own body. Notice it progresses. Because Abraham talked about Eliezer at one point. You know, I'm old, it's fine. You can fulfill your promise with Eliezer. And God says, no, out of your own body, this descendant will come. God will make Abraham exceedingly fruitful. He had no children at that time, okay? God will make nations and kings come from Abraham. Nations and kings. So multiple kids, multiple descendants. God will bless Sarah with a son. That was new information when that was given. After all of these years, then, it's like 25 years, then God says it'll be Sarah, not Hagar. God will make Sarah a mother of nations. God will give a son that will be named Isaac. So it went from a son to here's the name. God will establish his covenant with Isaac, not with Ishmael. And God tells the specific time of Isaac's birth. So all of this was kind of progressive. And you see that starting at chapter 12 all the way to chapter 18 that we've covered. So I won't go those in detail, but you're welcome to read those. But these are the promises with relationship to the descendants, not everything. What are the three parts of the promise of God to Abraham? Do you recall? Okay. Close. I'm looking for key words.
Land.
Seed. Offspring. And in you all the nations of the world will be blessed. So blessing. So those are the three components. What we're talking about here right now is the seed. Okay, he had promised descendants. Now God did what he said he would do. He'd been promising for 25 years. Abraham's around 100 years old. Now God fulfills his promise, okay? Now jump down to number 2. It's almost to the bottom of the page. God controls conception to the absurd. We've brought this out before, but I don't know why God waited as long as he did, except that it highlighted the miraculous, the idea that God indeed can control conception even to the most absurd circumstances, like a 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman are going to bear a child, okay? Sarah conceived. That's just that statement itself is a miracle. Okay? Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age. Another part of the miracle. At the set time in which God had spoken, that was prophesied. Okay? Now, it's funny because when I talk about God controls the conception to the absurd, a lot of people say the Bible doesn't say anything about it. And I'm like, okay, you don't read your Bible then, right? Is that the issue? Because it does. But understand, he does it to the absurd. And Abraham, remember we said it, he was rolling on the floor laughing. He literally was just taken back. It almost sounds like he laughed to the point that he couldn't breathe anymore. It was that funny to him. So Abraham thought it was hilarious. You can read it again, but in chapter 17, he's just like, he's like thinking, you're going to provide, sure he will, and all that. And God goes, no, it's going to be through Sarah. And he's like, he can't contain himself. He's laughing hard. He thought it was hilarious. Do you realize how old she is? Do you realize how old I am? We're getting to be really funny now, God. May Ishmael stand before you, right? You've waited this long. It's now this much longer, 13, 14 years later. And now you're telling me this, right? Sarah thought it was ridiculous. She heard it. And she laughed. Yeah, right. She's... The three men visit, she's in the tent listening, and it's like, yeah, right, it's, sure I am. right? She thought it was ridiculous. There's no way. Okay? And God thought it was no big deal. He goes, he didn't even like, what? It's not a punchline. No, for real. It's really going to happen. I quote that verse there, chapter 18, verse 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? What are you laughing at? Why would this be funny to you? I mean, and it's, you know, I'm not saying that he didn't work along with them because it was funny to Abraham and it was funny to Sarah. But he's like, why would it be funny? Because God can do whatever he wants. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. You can take it to the bank. It's, if I say it, you can count on it. You can laugh if you want, but it's going to happen. Right? And again, Romans 4, we've looked at before, but Abraham, contrary to hope, in hope, believe about in the middle of the passage there at the bottom. In hope, believe so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith or belief, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. Therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Okay? He believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Genesis 15:6. So, God controlled it to the absurd. You know, he waits till the absurd is like ridiculous. He waits until it's just totally just like goofy. And then he lets him bear Isaac. And it just makes it that much more God-ish. It's a God act in every way. Now, number three. Abraham names his son Isaac. Right? Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him. Each one of those is a big statement, actually. I mean, we read it because it's there, but it's like, and Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him. Each one of those is a huge fulfillment of God's promise. Isaac.
It's triple period, putting a triple period after the right sentence. This is what happened.
Yeah, and to take it lightly is to be unfair to what is happening here. And I quoted it here. He was instructed to call him Isaac. It said, so know Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. The name Isaac means what? Laughter, yeah. And it's like, and I said this before, it's funny, but God didn't really get upset. He's like, no, you don't laugh because it's not going to happen, but laugh because it's a good thing and you'll be happy. Okay, so, and we'll call him laughter. You will call him laughter. I'm not even giving you the choice. You can laugh forever, and it's okay to laugh, right? Yeah, God has the last laugh.
You know, it's amazing to me, just a reflection of this, the mind game that Abraham must have had, Sarah must have had in this at this time, because they, you know, they're forgetting their past, because their ancestry lived 400 plus years old and had children, and now here's not that far down the road, and here.
None.
And they're questioning this whole phenomenon. And then later on, down the line, you come along with Zechariah and Elizabeth, and then the Lord himself being born. I mean, we laugh at it because it's...
Yeah. I think it becomes old hat to us, but we lose the wonderment of what has happened. We know the story. Next. What's next?
We're like, Yeah. The Truth Project says we put God in a box and he can only work in that box.
Yeah. We let the amazingness of what has happened just fly by us because we've heard it before. The next one here, and I want you to think about this. How does this matter? But Abraham keeps the covenant sign. He circumcises Isaac. Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Now, I want to spend a lot of time, but what's the significance of this? But all the males were circumcised, including Ishmael.
No exceptions. This is the promise. This is fulfilling the promise. This, you know, he's got to be part of the covenant in order to be to carry on the covenant. I mean, it's not a matter of whether we're going to make exceptions in this case. This is the important part. This is the important part. I might say it's the signature on the contract.
What's cool is Abraham doesn't forget God when God fulfills his promise. He doesn't just leave God, I've got my son, I'm happy, and then just ignore him. And by the way, circumcision is not a pleasant thing. That's why you do it as a baby, because you, But that idea, he was with God still. And it's the beginning of this long line of the covenant, right? Like he said. So it's the starting, but he did not forget God. He kept going on the path before and after, okay?
Like I said, I think in some regards, this is, you might say, it's Abraham's signature to the contract, even though there's nothing on paper.
He's fulfilling his part.
I'm doing my part, right? Mm-hmm.
As much as he can do it, because obviously he won't be around for all of his descendants, but he's beginning the momentum, so to speak. So. Number five, just quick here, it says Abraham was around 100 years old when his son Isaac was born. Abraham's age confirms God's power. Yep. It reaffirms it. It's like, just in case you missed it before, here it is again. Abraham was 100 and his wife was 90. It's just kind of like, stop and think about this a minute. Please don't miss this. We read it so much it's familiar, but God did an amazing thing here. Number six, Sarah revels in God's power. So the same word spelled with lowercase letters. This. Sarah says, God made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me. She also said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children, for I have borne him a son in his old age. God made her laugh, others will see and laugh, and she is holding laughter. I mean, she is like on cloud nine, so to speak, and she's pinching herself. It's almost like that idea. She's just there. Here I am, God made me laugh, and he fulfilled it. Here I am laughing, and others will rejoice with me. If they hear about it, they'll just be amazed. And again, I think it highlights God. Here's a 90-year-old woman with a baby, and then she's holding laughter every day. She's calling out laughter. You know, it's just God wove it into their entire existence. Number seven, Isaac is weaned. I didn't look. Oh, I'm sorry. This is weaned, I think.
Sorry. You did the same thing on 3 also.
Names. I'm sorry.
You're so excited about this lesson.
It is a good lesson. There's a lot there. So, yeah, number three is names. So the child grew and was weaned. So he was physically growing, maturing. And Abraham made a great feast on the same day that Isaac was weaned. Apparently, it's still a big deal in some cultures. You celebrate the weaning. I didn't look too much, but every place I looked, they were saying that they kept referring to a quote in the Maccabees, which is part of a Apocrypha. But, I mean, the idea, it's more of a cultural reference. Not, they don't think it's inspired or whatever, but the idea that around 3 years of age or whatever, and some said it could be, Samuel was what, five when he was wholly weaned? So we're not talking infant anymore. Remember, Ishmael is at least 14. Around the, well, he's now like 17, right? If there's three, before he was born, right? Abraham was 86 when Ishmael was born. Now he's 100, so Ishmael's 14, and now Isaac is weaned, so it's like up to 3 years later. So in that one sentence, we've just covered, or more. So 17 or 18 years old, you know. So Ishmael's a grown man. Okay, it was a party, an event. So then Sarah, verse 9, saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, whom she had born to Abraham, scoffing. Therefore she said to Abraham, she saw and then she said, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, namely with Isaac. And so what I put down is, number 8 is she complains. And then, what she saw, what did she see? This is kind of unusual. I didn't catch it right away. What she saw, what did she see? Ishmael was scoffing, right? What did she complain about? What did she say? Please keep Isaac or Ishmael from scoffing. No. She had a totally huge reaction. What was she saying? No joint heir. Which basically is tantamount to saying you need to get rid of him. He can't be here with my son. He's scoffing. She says get rid of him. To me, that's like quite a reaction. Okay?
You realize what's happening? We have a 17-year-old son and a 3-year-old son. And
you don't recall any party about Ishmael being weaned. Maybe there was, but
the thing I'm looking at is the fact is that he's scoffing, and that's a sign of jealousy.
Oh, most definitely he's jealous.
I mean, she's looking out.
It appears that Sarah was jealous, too, remember? She got rid of Hagar. She treated her harshly, and she ran away, and God said, go back and submit to your mistress, right?
Because
there's jealousy there.
She sees the jealousy, and she knows that that's a dangerous thing when it comes to, I can't have any more kids. Guess what? If Ishmael takes care of Isaac, it's not going to be a laughing matter. I can't have any more kids.
If there's some suspect, I don't know that there's any hint at that.
But I'm just saying, when you say scoffing, this is a matter of who
does
she think she is? I can take care of this.
Yeah. Well, it was definitely a huge demand. And then number 9, and that's what I call it, Abraham wrestles with Sarah's demand. I don't fully get this because you can understand this a couple different ways. Matter was very displeasing in Abraham's sight because of his son. You could take that probably 4 ways, but at least a couple. One is, well, you don't want Isaac to be mistreated or made fun of or some way mocked or scoffed by Ishmael, or Sarah's asking him to get rid of his son Ishmael. That's kind of what I think he's talking about. Why? Because he doesn't want to get rid. Ishmael is his legitimate son. Recall, Sarah gave Hagar to be Abraham's wife, right? It was a marriage. The son is legitimate, okay? Well, but still, God had already said the blessing will pass on there. So, but still, there's an inheritance for sure that would be something, and joint heir. She's basically saying, nope, he's not. Maybe it's just like, because he did that, he doesn't get anything. Get him out of here. I don't know.
What's the difference? I see a pretty vast difference between scoffing and laughter, but not much of a difference. Because people were laughing for joy, but here we have a son, who, or a brother, half-brother, that's scoffing.
Right.
For the other side, the dark side, you might say laughter, and this is...
Well, my marginal note says scoffing is laughing. So I don't know if it's the same root of the, you know, for Isaac or something. But she basically says because he did that, he can't have anything. And it's funny because, well, he gets nothing. Nothing. God directs Abraham is number 10. God directs Abraham. He says this. By the way, Ishmael's like 14 years old at the birth. Ishmael would become a great nation. And then Ishmael would be blessed and beget 12 princes. That's just there. He says, do not let it be displeasing in your sight because of the latter, because of your bondwoman. Whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her voice. For Isaac your seed shall be called, yet I'll make a nation of the son of the bondwoman because he is your seed. It's interesting because he says, do what Sarah says. I have a hard time with what Sarah says. I have a hard time with what happens next. And God says, go ahead and do it. Okay? Abraham sends Hagar and Ishmael away. The guy is rich. Abraham is rich. Long before he went to Abimelech, down to the Philistine area and all that, and got even more stuff when Abimelech came, he had 314 trained soldiers. He had all these flocks and things like that. What does she leave with? Took bread and a skin of water, putting it on her shoulder, and gave it and the boy to Hagar, and sent her away, and she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. This blows me away. God says, go ahead and do it anyway. No provision. No servants to help her. No one to protect her. And all you got was some bread and a pouch of water, which ran out. And no plan. Notice she wandered, didn't even say, hey, go here. Here's a place you can go. Here's some money. She got nothing. When you talk about joint heir, he will not be a joint heir. You get nothing. I can't fathom that, but that's what it was. Hagar ends up, she weeps in despair. Number 12. The water in the skin was used up. That was all she had, bread and water. And she placed the boy under one of the shrubs. She went and sat down across from him at a distance of about a bow shot. For she said to herself, let me not see the death of the boy. He must have been totally wiped out too. So she sat opposite him and lifted her voice and wept. Hagar weeps. They ran out of water. Hagar placed Ishmael under a shrub. He's like 17 or 18, right? Somewhere in there. And Hagar wept. They must have been just totally exposed to the elements, and that was it. And that was done. They didn't have a tent. If you've ever been out in a desert anywhere, It's super dry and it's super cold. When the sun goes down, it gets out in Fort Worth in California, it'd be over 100 during the day and it would be 20 some at night. That was the extreme. It would be so cold, it would be so dry that even at 20 some degrees, your wash rag that you would wash your face with would dry before it would freeze. Unlike Georgia, which it would never, ever, ever dry. Okay, it would just stay damp forever. But they were out there, and she was just waiting for him to die. They must have been that parched. It had been long enough so that they were at the end. Okay. The next one, God comforts and provides for Hagar and Ishmael. He comforts and provides. Now, God did say, go ahead and do what Sarah said. Sarah seems mean to me, but I'll leave that at that. But God heard Hagar, and God heard the voice of the lad. Remember what God told Abraham? He said, I will bless him because he's your son. So God was listening. He had promised to take care of him. So even though it seems harsh, ultimately God provided what they needed. Okay? It doesn't go into detail. God heard Hagar. God heard the voice of the lad. God reminds her of his promise that he gave in 16:10 that he would be a big nation would come from him. We referred to the 12 princes that he would have that Abraham was told about. I don't know if Hagar was told about that or not. But remember, God said, I'll make him a great nation. He's not going to die. Okay. And then God shows them a well of water, and that ends that crisis. And then it goes into a little detail in the last two verses that we'll look at today. God cares for Ishmael. Now, I was reading one commentator, and he says, well, Ishmael is the beginning of the end, and he's doing everything wrong and blah, blah, blah. And, it finalizes it. He marries a gal from Egypt, right? He's totally out of God's scope or whatever. Well, the only problem I have is the first several words of verse 20. So God was what?
With the lad.
I mean, God took care of him. Why? Because he was Abraham's son. Now, that doesn't mean that Ishmael walked with God in every way or whatever. It doesn't say that. But I don't like the way they make it up to where he's doing all this stuff. I tell you what, if I was him, I'd probably be mocking Isaac too. I'm just saying. You know what I mean? You're the worthless one. And he's the everything. I'm just saying from a sinful standpoint. I'm just putting me in his shoes there. But God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. Okay, he actually became good at something. He dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took a wife for him from the land of Egypt. And someone condemns that, and it's like, well, she's from Egypt. Hagar the Egyptian, right? I don't know. He's half Egyptian. Yeah, I know. Some people make a big deal. I'm sorry, I can't.
Well, the thing I see is it's following things backwards. I just wonder if she was trying to return to Egypt because that's where her home was, from wherever they were in the land going back. This is here's the end, here's where they were, that's the direction possibly.
I don't think so because of her situation. She's still the wife of a man, and even though he banned her to the wilderness basically, that's who Ishmael belongs to. That's his dad. And I think Ishmael is there to help bury Abraham. So it's not like they're wholly disconnected. He just didn't get anything.
I just wondered.
Thanks to Sarah, I guess.
Well, that's the joint airship that was brought out there. I just see this as being a, I'm going to use the word. word, for lack of a better one, divorce. I want you to divorce your wife, send her away, get the kid away from here.
Several commentators use that very phrase.
And it
was a functional divorce.
And if he would have basically given her anything or given Ishmael anything, it would have been basically a splitting of the inheritance. And Isaac was to get, and I think Sarah was seeing that Isaac was going to get the complete inheritance, not just a provisional one or just a part of one.
Right, and the joint heir would be anything you gave to Ishmael would be stealing from Isaac at that point. Which I don't fully understand it, but God allowed Abraham to send him away based upon the words of Sarah, and God says, don't worry about him. I'll take care of him and he'll become a great nation. That's basically, to me, it rubs me completely the wrong way. But I'm not God and he's way bigger than I am, right?
Where is this place called Haran?
I think it's in Westdale Mall. Westdale, that's in Cedar Rapids, I guess. Sorry. El Paran is down here, so I think it's down in the Saudi Arabian desert area. So down in the south, in the desert. So, okay. Well, yeah, in the either directly south or southwest. So, I think it's in the bigger maps. We just don't have it on ours. God keeps his promise. He doesn't do it right away necessarily. And by the way, Abraham did not see everything that God had promised. He couldn't. He died. He looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. He didn't see that, right? So all of these things. But God kept his promise with regard to Sarah, with regard to his son, with regard to descendants. And Abraham was a father of many nations ultimately, so. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Again, help us to trust in what you say, even though it might not happen quickly. What you say is fully and wholly reliable. Help us to rest in that. Help us to work on that basis, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.